Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Oh, Brian is the Astros and you are the Yankees. He's daddy. Cool. I could beat you at this game. Cool. Nice flex. I definitely don't believe this game doesn't move the needle from Branham. Both of you are always locked in for this segment. Favorite segment of the week. Okay. Everyone loves this game, but Branham and Joe are so bad at it. Can we just open this up to the listeners so they don't have to hear this torture? No, absolutely not. People want more of us and less of you. Worst segment in sports radio, says a texter. That's my burner. I agree. Honestly, who said it is my favorite segment y'all do? LMAO. I don't know. You have bad taste, Texter. All right, 713-783.
I'm sensing a little sour grapes here from Jeremy. All of a sudden, the losing streak happens. And it's like, oh, this segment's terrible.
One of my New Year's resolutions was to be more honest this year, and I've.
But you're going to start next week?
For a while. No.
You are just on fire now that you're gloating, and you, boy, it's just turned to flip the switch for you.
We're moving on from this. The most to lose this week from the 8 teams that are still alive in the NFL playoffs. I have a top 5 for you. Branham top 5.
Okay.
The teams with the most to lose this weekend. I'm going to go 5-1 because it's suspenseful and people like suspense. Number 5, Kansas City. Like, yes, they're playing for the three-peat. Yes, they're playing for NFL history. They'd be the first team in history to win 3 Super Bowls in a row. But at the same time, they've won 2. They've won 3 in recent memory. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. Spagnuolo's probably not going anywhere. Mahomes is still going to be there. I don't think that they have a whole lot to lose in the divisional round. So they're number 5. I don't have the Texans on here for what it's worth because I don't think the Texans have a whole lot to lose either. They're 8-point dogs at Arrowhead. Number 4 is Baltimore. For me. Now, they do have some to lose here. Lamar is still looking for his first Super Bowl championship. Harbaugh has one, but Lamar does not. So there is some at stake here for Lamar, and people have talked a lot about Lamar in the postseason. But because Baltimore has one semi-recently, and their head coach has one, I have them 4 higher than a few. Number 3 on my top 5 teams with the most to lose this weekend, the Philadelphia Eagles. They, under their current head coach, Nick Sirianni, do not have a Super Bowl. Went to one, lost it. Jalen Hurts does not have a Super Bowl. Also, if they lose at home whenever they're a pretty big favorite against the Rams, I think that seat gets a little hotter for Sirianni as well. So I have them at number 3. Number 2, top 5 teams with the most to lose, the Buffalo Bills. Well, why are they ahead of Baltimore? Why are they ahead of Philly? Well, Buffalo hasn't won a Super Bowl, right? McDermott has not. If McDermott loses this game, I think he'll be on the hot seat going into next year. The narrative that I like to push about Josh Allen not able to, you know, win the big game or to go deep into the playoffs will magnify, plus through the home team. So I have them as my number 2 team, top 5 most to lose this weekend. And at the very top of the list, I got the Detroit Lions, and the reason that I have the Lions, well, they've never been to a Super Bowl in NFL history. They've never won a Super Bowl, obviously, if they haven't been to one. But also, if they miss it this year, do you think that their window could potentially be closing? Like, Jared Goff would be a year older. Still, he'd be fine. But then the most important thing is you're losing, more than likely, both of your coordinators. If Ben Johnson's this great offensive mind, what do the Lions look like once he's gone? If Aaron Glenn's like another fantastic leader in that organization, he leaves you, what does that look like for Detroit going forward? So I had the Lions as the top team with the most to lose this weekend.
See, I have the Lions lower because they have built-in excuses. They have all the injuries. they have the fact that, you know, as much as they were favored because of the injuries, it might derail them. So I don't think that it's as high as the top two teams for me, because I agree with Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, as you know, starting out last season to win 10 games and then, you know, 10 games and then just get completely turned upside down and finish as poorly as they did. Sirianni, as good as they've been this year and adding Saquon has helped a lot, I don't think he's completely clear of it. And if they lose to the Rams at home, I think they're above Detroit. I think that, to me, the top two teams that came to my mind instantly were Buffalo and Baltimore. I put Baltimore at one because you added Derrick Henry. They're hot as can be right now. They might be the hottest team in the entire league. The fact that Lamar hasn't won in the playoffs, and he's either going to win or have a chance to win another MVP title in the regular season, and that is the biggest thing that he's got to get out from under. And if they fail this week, I think that it is just going to unload on him and be just a super tough thing for him to try and overcome. So I got Baltimore 1. I got Buffalo 2 because Buffalo lost a lot of players, but they're playing really well. I think that as good as they've played all year, I don't think that it's going to – I think it's a slight half-notch below if Baltimore would lose. So
It's interesting to me that you have Baltimore higher than Buffalo, because Buffalo's the – I know that they're the dogs here, but they're also the home team.
They are, but I understand Baltimore's got to go to Buffalo, but Baltimore's playing – again, the table has been set yet again for Lamar to really be able to finally, you know, get off the schneid.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if he doesn't do it this year with Derrick Henry in tow as well to give him extra support, I think that everybody's just going to be completely jumping on that bandwagon that he can't win in the playoffs and going to crush him. And then subsequently,
why not Buffalo though? Why not with Allen? Like, I feel like they're very similar. Like, whenever we have the now, Allen has had better postseason success than Lamar Jackson. If I'm being completely honest, he has. But I think that the narratives on either one is kind of the same. Like,
it is. That's why I said it's about a half a beat between the two of them.
It's very tight. It's very close.
But
I think I agree with you.
To the point you made, Allen's won a little bit more in the playoffs. Milano and has been out a majority of the year. The defense isn't quite what it's been in years past for Buffalo, losing Poyer, losing Micah Hyde, a lot of the guys that they lost along the way. And then they added Amari Cooper. But overall, you can look at it and say, do they have the same kind of offensive weapons they had in the past? So I think it's close, but I would go Baltimore 1, I would go Buffalo 2, I would go Philadelphia 3, I would go Detroit 4, and then 5, to me, you can, you know, I don't think it's the Texans at all, so.
No. I had Kansas City just because they're going for the three-peat. Like,
yeah, I just think
really
that they've gotten
reason.
So much success and done what they did in the last 2 years that no one's going to really have anything to worry about if they lose.
It sounds like I put more stock, not that either one is right or wrong, this is all opinion based, I put more stock on team history success. Like, I think the bigger reason that I had Baltimore lower than Buffalo is because Baltimore has two titles. Like, Harbaugh has a title, whereas Buffalo has never had one.
And maybe I more individualized it to say, look, if this comes down to Allen versus Lamar, I think that Lamar adding Derrick Henry and having everything that they have, Lamar has just been in the driver's seat and has failed over and over again, where, like you said, even Allen's won some games. He's dueled Mahomes to overtime to where I don't think it would be quite as great.
Yeah, it's a it's interesting. See, I wonder, too, though, like what the Lions look like next year.
And it's a great point. I've thought about it myself multiple times.
Like, the other part of, like, the Lions aspect of this, too, is, like, we're not talking about like if they get ousted next week. We're talking about if they get ousted this week.
Yeah.
So the Lions, they're the number one seed. They had a bye. They're taking on a rookie quarterback. You lose to them, and then your two coordinators leave? It's like, uh-oh. Whereas if you're Buffalo and Baltimore and you lose to the other guy, it's acceptable. Like, Baltimore losing at Buffalo in a snow game to Josh Allen and the Bills, okay, it kind of makes some sense. Buffalo losing as an underdog to Lamar Jackson, who's probably going to win the MVP, okay, that makes some sense. It makes no sense if the Lions are losing to the 6-seed Commanders at home when they're a huge favorite, the biggest favorite of the week.
Yeah, look, I know that Sirianni has gone through the exact same thing. He loses two coordinators, and he loses a whole hell of a lot. So it's definitely a storyline. I just think that the injuries kind of are that,
sure. Yeah,
kind of like that extra buffer for Detroit.
Yeah, I think that's a good counterpoint because they have had all of the injuries. It's going to be fascinating to see what the Lions look like next year, no matter what. Like, no matter outcome of this year, it's going to be a big testament on Dan Campbell.
Because the bottom falling out is the Eagles example that I gave, is the fact that when Sirianni lost both of his coordinators, boy, every wart started to show a whole lot more, and they crapped the bed. And I think there's a ton of talent, but because like I said, Montgomery being out, as well as Hutchinson and all those guys, the injuries are going to be the excuse for if they do get bounced, but then it's going to be what the hell do you do and how do you bounce back and who do you hire so that doesn't happen again. And next year, the entire year, they are going to be scrutinized. Yeah,
they'll be under a microscope next year for sure if they lose both coordinators. Texture, who said it is the only reason I tune in? Well, find another station, dude.
All right, 713-780-3776.
What are your favorite football weather conditions to watch, and what are your favorite conditions just in general? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Roky Sasaki has signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers, by
the way. Of
course
he did.
Yeah, everybody saw that coming. Their projected starting rotation's kind of nasty.
Pretty damn good.
You got the you got
Snell.
I was going to go with the Japanese guys first. Shohei's supposed to be back on the mound. I don't know at what point, but he's supposed to be back on the mound. So Shohei Ohtani. You have Yamamoto, who you brought in last year, and now you have Sasaki. And then on top of that, Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow. That's their 1-5 at some point this year, probably. Is Kershaw still there? I don't even know.
He's free agent again.
Yeah, he's a free agent again. It feels like the Dodgers are just running their own fantasy draft.
Is he going to pitch?
I don't think they need him, but
it feels like the rumor is another like half season sort of thing where I don't know if he goes full Clemens and just says I'll come in June, but I think if he pitches it'll be for the Dodgers and it won't be the full season.
Yeah, that makes the most sense, I think.
I was just hoping that he went anywhere. I was hoping he'd go to the Padres and it'd give the Padres a little extra so that they could go at the Dodgers, but man, the National League is just going to be
I kind of like that they're getting all the players. That way, if they lose,
you can then crap like, on them more.
Yeah. It's like you have all these guys and you're losing. So I kind of like that they're collecting it all. But with that mindset, I want them to lose when they collect it all. If they win it all, I'm going to be super jealous.
Their payroll has got to be ridiculous.
That's the thing, though, is like they've spent so much and have brought in so many players. Like, falling short of winning it all is a failure.
This isn't even getting into the World Series, I don't think. I think, yeah, this is just you have to now win it for multiple years.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you've set the bar so high that even winning it all is going to feel kind of anticlimactic because you were supposed to win it all.
Yeah.
Like it's a weird deal. Like, so I kind of like that they're collecting all that talent because they really can't win. Because if they win it all, well, yeah, you were supposed to. If they lose, it's ha ha ha. Can you believe that they lost with all of that? But yeah, he's a Dodger.
You see that Jimmy Click got his favorite center fielder back.
Oh, that's right. Click is in Toronto.
Yep.
Click traded him away.
Well, he had to, didn't he?
Well, no, Click traded him for Phil Maton and for Yiner Diaz.
Right, I know.
And a lot of people were mad at that because he was the starting center fielder at the time. Remember, he did that on the deadline. Everybody said, well, there's got to be another
move. Yeah, so it was Dusty. Dusty loved – no, Dusty didn't love
– I don't think anybody really loved him. No, I think it was more Dusty liking Straw because –
yeah,
think
that's
Click,
what it was.
Click wanted Chaz to play more. Because Chaz was performing pretty well, and he wanted to like him to get more reps, and Dusty didn't allow that. And then they traded Straw, which opened it up more for Chaz, and then it also allowed them to call up Myers, who actually was pretty good in his rookie year, and then kind of came crashing down. It's going to be really cold next week, by the way. How much are we sweating this freeze potentially, snow potentially, early next week?
I mean, the thing to me that I'm not fretting the weather at all.
You're used to it.
Yeah, I've been through it. The thing I'm fretting is the people in Houston driving in it. Because the last time we had this and it wasn't snow, it was just the ice, to see how many accidents and the ones that I narrowly missed and avoided. I am not looking forward to people trying to drive in, especially if it's icy and snowy.
I saw, I think it was Cleveland ISD up in very north part of greater Houston area, maybe even too north of greater Houston area. They already canceled school for Tuesday.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know how many, it's always like, we always hear these things, even with the other natural disasters. And a lot of times they don't even come close to, and then people start bagging on it. I was like, okay, but you got to be prepared. But at the same time, I don't think you have to cancel school till Sunday night if you think Monday's going to be treacherous.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how that goes early next week. Hopefully all is well. There's going to be tons of cold weather this weekend. The Texans are playing in some cold weather in Kansas City. It's not as bad tomorrow as it could have been if they were playing on Sunday. I was looking at this earlier. Tomorrow's high is 33, the low is 15. And the sun's probably going to get down pretty quick in that game tomorrow. Sunday, their high in Kansas City's 15 with a low of 5. So, like, they did them a favor, but at the same time, it's still going to be super cold in Kansas City tomorrow. The bigger weather game is probably going to come in Buffalo. Hopefully there's snow. That'd be so cool if that game has snow on it. What is your favorite football weather conditions to watch?
So, again, I think the scenario matters if it's playoffs versus regular season. But for me, I'm jaded by the cold weather because I love watching teams in the snow because it is fun. And, you know, you see – you know, a lot of like Josh Allen last year was just running all over the place. But you just see that kind of entertainment value the snow brings. The cold weather sucks for me because I've seen too many times, too many home field advantages, too many. Yeah, they can't come into Lambeau Field and win to watch the Packers just get beat on their own field in their own elements by teams from the West Coast, like the Niners or the Giants coming in and beating them when they had 15 wins. And it was, ooh, boy, it was cold. So what? I mean, the snow can, if you've played in it a couple of times, can neutralize a lot of things. But teams can adjust to the cold weather, and it's always ticked me off. So I'll say I enjoy watching teams play in the snow. I hate just watching teams duke it out in the cold weather because of my past experiences.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it to be my team playing in an extreme weather game. Because now, if it's the Texans and an 8-point dog, maybe that extreme weather can neutralize things.
Yes.
So I hedge a little bit there. But just from like a football observer watching a random game, I like the snow games. Mm-hmm. I think it adds an extra element. Like, it adds an extra storyline. Is the best team always going to win? No. Is it an equalizer? Yes. But you see just like weird things happen. Like, I think of the Brady Patriots Raiders game. Whenever you had the snow everywhere, and then you had the people that came on there, and they were
snow
like
snowplow, yeah.
They were cleaning up the area so Vinatieri could kick. Like those are just fun. Like those are fun moments, and I that's why I'm hoping the Ravens Bills has that kind of feel to it, because I feel like whenever that happens, it something crazy happens, and it becomes like this historic playoff moment.
Yeah, where it sucks is you're like the best show, the best show on turf. You're like the greatest show on turf, and you have all these offensive weapons and all these skill position players that are so elusive, and then you go and play on snow or on an icy field, and it's all neutralized, and you could lose no matter how dominant you've been all year. That's when it sucks.
Yeah, that's it does for sure. That's why I wouldn't want to be my team, especially if I'm a favorite. Monday is a holiday, says a texter. They closed school on Tuesday. They already closed school on Tuesday.
Yeah, because I said ISD. Sunday night, you play it by ear until Sunday night. But yeah, with Monday as a holiday, I mean, that buys you even more time.
Yeah, I think Tuesday morning, maybe Monday overnight, supposed to be the day.
So it's supposed to be, I think it's like it's going to start Sunday night. Monday's going to be fairly cold. But like Tuesday and Wednesday morning are going to be brutal. And then it's supposed to be out of here by Wednesday night.
I'm gonna walk outside without my shirt because I'm a tough guy.
Put that on TikTok.
I'm a dog. Hey, well, TikTok won't be around next week, Blinkers.
Oh.
What rock you been living under? It's going to die on Saturday or Sunday?
Thought Trump was trying to save it.
Yeah, but Congress voted unanimously that they're still going to go through with it. So, I don't know. Hopefully they're all negotiating and politicking and it doesn't go anywhere. I'm not sure what to do with my time. I like to scroll. Texter says I like windy weather football, like so windy that when the punter tries to punt it, the ball flies backward over his own head. Oh, mm-mm. Man.
I don't like that a whole lot.
Yeah. Am I in the minority?
You like seeing the passing game as part of you know, big games, and if you can't pass because the wind is taking it all over the place, aside from letting a little air out of the football, and even still, it's not any lot of fun.
That's the kind of wind whenever you're, like, punting on first down type of stuff. Am I in the minority? I prefer rain over snow for playoff games. Yeah, I think so. I don't like. I really don't like rainy games.
I don't either.
A lot. I like the snow. I don't really care for the rain.
Yeah, it's, to me, it literally mucks it all up, and I just, from the field and the foot, all that other stuff, and then it's, there's something about the snow being kind of refreshing and fun, and just the whole muddy nastiness of, I don't like rain games.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like to be on the field during cold games, too. I'll be honest there. I like 72 degrees and sunshine.
That's why I was saying to DJ, and I wasn't kidding, but I think that, you know, if you were on the field for it, or even like when you're sitting at a game, that you need to make sure that you have layers on whatever is dealing with that, because whether it be your feet or your derriere, you can get frostbite real quick.
You know, people like to do the Vaseline.
Vaseline?
Yeah, they put the Vaseline on the skin. That way it cuts down the wind.
Oh, yeah, players like the tough guys that like to play without sleeves, they load up their arms with Vaseline.
DJ's going to be in a press box.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
He's like, being a little soft, like two jackets, two hoodies, like wool socks. Like, you're going to be in the press box with a heater, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's so not soft. The old-school press boxes where it's just like the aluminum shell with a potential glass front. Like, they've remodeled that stadium.
Yeah, it's renovated. It's got a heat in there. It's got a little HVAC. Come on. Don't be so soft, DJ.
How long is he going to be on the field? He's going to be in the locker room? He's going to be in the press box?
I don't even know if he'll be on the field.
Oh, pregame, I think he'll probably be out there.
He takes a little gander, gets cold, goes upstairs. You know, it's not hard. All right, biggest storylines that you have. What are your biggest storylines? What is intriguing you the most about tomorrow's game? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're a business owner, the most intriguing thing that you can have in your life this year is HRNP. Make 2025 the year that you get everything buttoned up. And let HRP help you do that. Mike Holly, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years with HRP. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. It's also a great time of year to have them. It's tax season. You'd like to have them in your life. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter with HRP. If you need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between, HRP will create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to nobody. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. We use HRP here at Gal, so I can vouch for HRP's customer service. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you and your business. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, top storylines for tomorrow's game. What are your favorite storylines? What drama do you like? Like ear hole on the quarterback if you're into that sort of thing. 713-780-3776. What is it for you, Blankers? What's your favorite storyline in this game?
Favorite storyline is, to me, I'm curious if the Chiefs can do it again and flip the switch. I just feel like this might be the year where they might be vulnerable because they haven't played a meaningful game since, what, Christmas? I feel like Mahomes coming off that ankle when he was hurt, maybe that helps him, but maybe they don't have the same timing and chemistry they've had in the past. Their line is dinged up, and they're playing musical linemen much like the Texans have done. I'm just real curious to see if they can, with all the one-score games and the way the regular season is gone. Last year, they proved me wrong when they could flip a switch and do what they did and win back-to-back, but I think it is going to be a much steeper climb this year, and I'm really curious if they can turn it on again, because otherwise, whether the Texans get them or not, I think that they might have their hands full next week.
I mean, they're the one seed in the AFC.
I just told you why.
Turn it on.
I just told you why. I mean, look, I mean,
they're 15-2.
How many? How? again. And the last game of the season was a throwaway. So when have you seen a team that only lost one game in the regular season going into the last week of the season get scrutinized as much as the Chiefs and just completely dissected and ripped and the one-score games and the receivers are less than and all the different things? And I think that they are ripe for the picking this year. I think the Texans could get them, but I'm really curious to see how they come out and how they play tomorrow.
All right. My favorite storyline is the Chiefs chasing three titles, trying to be the first NFL team in history to win three in a row. And what's really interesting, listening to all the sound bites from this week, with Kansas City and, Texans, obviously. But this was Pat Mahomes talking about a third. It doesn't care about wanting a third, it seems like.
No, I mean, I'm good with three for right now. So we'll see down the line maybe, but my goal was always three, so we've had three, and we'll stick there for a while and see if we need to come back and get another one later on.
And Mahomes already has three titles. It doesn't sound like he cares a whole lot about a fourth championship, Blankers.
That doesn't sound like it happened this week.
That was this week, I promise
you. He doesn't want it bad enough.
Brian cut it. Brian, wasn't it from his press conference this week?
It was from his press conference this week.
He's like, I don't really need a fourth.
Was that in reference to Super Bowl titles or something else?
It was in reference to his number of kids that he's had.
Ah, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Some would argue three is already 2 minutes.
Yeah, he had his.
What did he name the kid?
Golden Ray?
Golden Ray. There you go.
Something like that.
Bizarre.
Oh, man.
He's had enough. Three Super Bowls is enough.
That's enough. That's my favorite storyline.
He doesn't want to be gluttonous.
Guys tried to do it to me again, didn't you?
You have a quarterback. We're trying to do it to the listeners, Blankers. Don't be so sensitive. You have a guy that has won three Super Bowls. He's won back-to-back. He's trying to three-peat. Yeah, that's enough. We'll talk about a fourth later on. I don't need that right now. All right, Brian, what's your favorite storyline?
My favorite storyline is C.J. Stroud can have the type of game that I think we thought him potential or him to have the potential of in this game to lead them to victory, because certainly coming off last season, rookie of the year, led the league in passing yards per game. They add the weapons on with Stephon Diggs. People are expecting Stroud to the moon, and unfortunately the sophomore slump narrative has really come into play with his numbers dropping off. So I think if he can have the type of game where, let's say, he throws for 290, a couple touchdowns, has a couple big runs, makes the big plays and the big moments on the road in the cold against this team, against an elite defensive coordinator with elite players like Chris Jones, then that would erase, I think, the sophomore slump narrative and put in our, I think, in everyone's mind, C.J. Stroud back on track to be thought of as one of the top level quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to see. And you're right. I think that much like we talked about earlier in the show with some of the other things, that the most indelible moments that the fans take away from any season is how did you finish the year and how did you go about your business. If he, as much as he's been scrutinized, and rightfully so, he hasn't played like he did in his first year. We know that there are other reasons besides just him. But if he somehow, some way, steps up in another big game like he did when he was Ohio State against Georgia, and even though they lost that game, he played his tail off. If he plays to a level that gets them this victory, I think a lot of people forget about how the season went and start getting him back to where he was after year one.
Yeah, I don't even think he has to play well, quite frankly. I think that if they win, I think we have that narrative. Like, he doesn't have to be good. Like, if he goes 10 for 18, throws for 140 yards, a touchdown and an interception, but the Texans win 17-14, no one cares about the line. He's the guy who went into...
Hold
on, let me finish. He's the guy that goes into Arrowhead Stadium and hands Pat Mahomes his first ever division loss. We're not talking about the stat line. We're talking about the accomplishment. See, he doesn't even have to be good.
I disagree because of the fact that you can't be bad. You can't be...
Line was very meh.
Yeah, you don't have to be the reason why they won, like being heroic that way, but you can't be... You can't be bad in victory. And I think that the one thing that he would have is if he won the game and that happened, he still would have a chance to redeem himself the following week before fans really pile on. But I think fans are still going to be cognizant of the fact that he didn't play well if they got a win like that.
I mean, look at Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl win. Like, he was very meh.
Well, that's
we were talking
Super
about
Bowl.
Sure. But, I mean, I think you're disqualifying the significance of beating Mahomes in the divisional round at Arrowhead Stadium when they're eight-point dogs. Winning
matters.
It would be
a big team win, but I don't think it would get CJ off the hot seat with a lot of people.
You think he's on the hot seat?
Well, okay, maybe not hot seat. I don't think he would be free from scrutiny if that's the way they won the game.
Oh, I don't think he'd be scrutinized at all.
Oh,
if he wins at Arrowhead Stadium with a mediocre stat line, he's going to be scrutinized?
Oh, I think people are going to start picking.
I think scrutinized maybe is too tough of a term, and I don't think anyone would say it on Monday, but like as we get into the offseason, I think there would be whenever the idea of like, "Oh, he got you to the first ever AFC title game," there would be people who would say, "Yeah, but his stat line sucked."
We get yeah butted on CJ Stroud on the text line already. We get yeah butted anytime we criticize CJ Stroud. Well, who cares? He won the rookie of the year. He's won the division title in back-to-back years. 10 wins in back-to-back. We already get yeah butted on CJ Stroud.
Yeah, but it's a different conversation though. Like if we're trying to say, okay, sophomore slump basically didn't even happen because he led his team to the AFC title game, there's going to be people, look, and I'm not even saying it's going to be a majority of the fan base, but there will be people out there that will try to make the case his team, like the defense, the running game, whatever, his team carried him to the AFC title game. He still played mediocre.
What did we say about Eli whenever he beat the undefeated Patriots in the
but
Super
that,
Bowl?
Again,
that's kind of the point. Like people said Eli was mediocre.
No, he's the guy who beat Tom Brady. He's the guy who beat the undefeated Patriots. He made the heroic play at the end with David Tyree in the helmet grab. And he was mediocre in that game.
I mean, yeah, what was the biggest reason the Giants won
in
that
the Super
game?
Bowl, he got the MVP.
And he was mediocre.
He got the MVP in both of the
Giants
Super Bowls.
He was 19 for 34. Like two touchdowns and a pick, 255. That's not a great stat line.
They won
17-14. Like he wasn't the reason they won that game.
Yeah,
their defense
that's my
was.
Point. Yeah,
right. But that's my point too. Like Stroud doesn't have to be even good. If they win, people would be praising Stroud as the guy who beat Pat Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium. We're going to be calling it Stroudhead Stadium like we did Burrowhead Stadium. Like if he goes in there and wins, even if he's mediocre, he's getting praised nationally.
Maybe nationally. I think that the people
even,
that have watched
not
the
locally,
entire
thing. Though, he's
no,
the guy who led the Texans
you're going
to
get
the
people that are going to be realistic and honest
and
enough to point
praised?
The finger at where, yes, I do think that there are going to be people that are going to scrutinize him and they're going to point fingers and they're going to point out what he didn't do and they're going to say, you got to be better than that. And I think that there are people that are going to look at that honestly and say he didn't play great.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the Hive. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys, both of you guys are right. But first off, Eli, let me address that. Eli did what he did, and they still not even considering him to be a Hall of Famer. So put that aside. No matter what Eli did, 15-1, MVP, 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, Super Bowl, they're still not saying he's Hall of Fame worthy. So, but an anomaly. Now, if Stroud beat Kansas City, it's easy to say you both are right. They're going to be there, and they say Joe Burrow had the best season of all quarterbacks. But some of the commentators still say, yeah, but on one game, the reason they didn't make the playoffs is because the one game he threw a crucial interception. That's beside the point. They're going to always be naysayers. But if this guy goes out and beats Kansas City, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I hate to say, I will run around in underwear, Texas underwear, and bareback if he beats
Patrick
Mahomes, who's on the cusp of a three-peat. Of a three-peat. That
I'm
is
with
so
you.
Significant. You're going to always have naysayers. But if he does that in that feat, when no other quarterback did it this year but one, not the Denver quarterback because they sat their players. No quarterback really had success against Kansas City if you look at it. So if he does that, they're going to be naysayers. They got people that talk about Jesus Christ, man.
Appreciate right. the call, Gary. If you do that bareback thing, send pictures. I'll give you Blanker's number. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Pete, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I think it really comes down to the storyline is, can the Texans take the next step? I don't think it really centers around one particular individual. It really comes around the team as a whole. Can the offense stay steady and take advantage of the opportunities presented to them? And can the defense continue to play at a high level like they did against the Chargers? And essentially, you know, catch Kansas City napping. Can they take the next? And that way they can continue to rub it in Rex Ryan's face, and, you know, who has really no room to say anything since his late Jets team before he got fired were considered bye weeks by most NFL teams. Anyway, y'all have a great weekend, and y'all stay warm next week. I'm done. Bye.
Thanks, man. You do the same. Look, I think that that's where at least, you know, if they win the game, the franchise, the team as a whole, they're going to get a lot of praise. But you know that they got another game to play, and especially they're going to play either Lamar or they're going to play Josh Allen. And that's where the immediate scrutiny is going to come from, because you're going to compare quarterbacks and they're going to say that he didn't play great.
I feel if the Texans make the AFC Championship game, we've already all been on record to say that if they do that, this is the greatest season in Houston Texans history. I don't think his season has been kind of mediocre. I don't think his stat line in the divisional round of the playoffs will matter much when we look back at the greatest season in Houston Texan history.
I think both can be true. I think
let's put it on the Twitter. If how do we want to phrase this? If Stroud goes 11 for 20 for 140 yards, a touchdown, an interception, but wins, will you A, praise him, B, criticize him?
Would you still be critical of him if he didn't? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, phrasing is tough, especially when you got to make it succinct for Twitter. But my basic point would be like, would that end the sophomore slump narrative?
I don't know. Yeah, like that's a little different.
Scrutinize, critical.
Will you like scrutinize or criticize more?
Scrutinize.
Okay, we'll do that.
I think critical would sound like we're bashing him, which wasn't really the point.
Yeah, I think scrutinize is better. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's good. Good thing. Hey, good talk, guys. I'm proud of us.
We did.
All right, 7-1.
We got there.
7-1-3-7-8-0.
Never.
We have Cal McNair to thank. What a leader that Cal McNair is. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Texter says, I think Branham's completely wrong if the Texans win, but CJ plays average. People are going to say that is not good enough to get it done next week. Another texter, Branham facts. CJ wins. He's the guy. Maybe it's the difference between looking at it short-term, long-term. Short-term, I can see that. It's like, okay, well, Stroud's still not playing well. They're not capable of winning the AFC Championship game. Whereas long-term, it's like, okay, the numbers kind of get forgotten when you look at it, when you look back at it, like years down the road. All right, car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. Texter says, come on, guys, I need to bring some hope to this city. Let's shred them, Stroud.
Shred them, Stroud!
There we go. There's the hope for the city. John Gruden just needs to be C.J. Stroud's hype man. All right, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Blake?
I'm going to start with Alex Rodriguez, because Alex Rodriguez and typical clueless-type Alex Rodriguez behavior took to Twitter yesterday to pay homage to Bob Uecker. The only problem is, he said, heartbroken to lose Bob Uecker, an iconic voice of baseball. He brought joy not only to Cleveland, but to baseball fans everywhere, and his iconic catchphrases like, get up, get out of here, gone, will never be forgotten. R.I.P. Bob, and the pictures are Bob when he played with the Milwaukee Braves and Bob with a Milwaukee Brewers hat on. Well done, A-Rod.
Well, we said Cleveland because of the movie, but still.
Does he think Major League was a documentary?
I mean, and by the way, both Cleveland, the movie, and the catchphrase he used, get up, get out of here, gone. The get up, get out of here, gone is Milwaukee. It's not Cleveland. I get Cleveland, but if you were going to go Cleveland, then you could go just a bit outside, because that was the famous one from the movie.
The catchphrase is a little bit, like, I think that's a little
the Cleveland
nuanced.
Is the thing that got me, obviously.
Yeah, that's the big one. Like, I can understand not knowing the catchphrase.
I think that is a regional thing. Yeah, like, I don't know how many people outside of that state would know that was his catchphrase.
Same. Like, I feel like that's acceptable screw-up. Still a screw-up, but more of an acceptable.
Cleveland
like,
but it would make sense that if he was Clevelanding for the movie that he would use Just a Bit Outside, which is from
sure.
the movie.
Well, I think, well, he screwed up the fact that he didn't, I mean, I think he just screwed up.
He did.
I think he thinks Major League is a documentary.
It's still up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he hasn't taken this down.
Nope. And people are
is
pointing out that both hats are Milwaukee.
I wonder if this is the real A-Rod or if it's a parody.
Uh-oh.
Like, there's no way.
Got?
I don't think so. He's got 1.2 million followers, and that's the logo that he's been trying to use on clothes.
Yeah, it looks like it's his real account. I can't believe he still has it up. Like, it's one thing to, like typo, oh, the movie, it's on his mind.
Does this mean that he handles his own Twitter account? He doesn't have people that could have caught that?
Or maybe he has, you know, maybe he has, like, a non-sports social media person.
I think this is the real one.
Yeah, I think it's the real one. Wow, I can't believe he still has it up.
Yippers.
That's pretty. It's an A-bomb by A-Rod.
He definitely bombed, all right.
Man. That is rough. All right, car wreck of the day. My car wreck of the day is Brandon thinking we won't scrutinize Stroud if he has a bad game. Nobody cares that you beat the Chiefs. That's not true.
Shut up, Stroud!
Play. All we'd be saying is we praise the defense. That's not true. Like, you're going to be like, Stroud led us there. Maybe not everybody. But I think that the prevailing thought, the majority thought, will be praise for C.J. Stroud. In fact, I'm going to turn it around and nominate that texter for car wreck of the day. How could you be so dumb? How could you be so dumb to think that that would be the case? That a quarterback for the Houston Texans would lead them to the, well, not so much promised land, but would lead them further than they've ever been before and would not be praised by the city. I nominate you for the car wreck of the day.
I mean, we literally do a segment every week, don't ignore a victory. And that if Stroud came out and had that stat line you gave us earlier, that would be highlighted prominently in that segment.
I think it's the prevailing thought. Because, yes, you can be critical of a player while also still heaping him praise. Like, so what is the prevailing thought? Is it accomplishment, complimenting him for guiding you there, or is the prevailing thought criticism? I think it would be compliments. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Blinker? Or, Brian?
Y'all's performance and who said it.
Oh, of course.
One for nine the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, who got that one right, though?
Yeah, yeah, no, congratulations on your Moore victory. That was that was inspiring.
Who got that one right?
I mean, a one for nine. You want to hang your hat on that one, go ahead.
Yeah, please
so
do.
So you still didn't answer the question. Also, how many in the last one did we get right?
You're only as good as your last one, right?
That's right. Momentum is as good as your last day's question on who said it. All right, so what wins here? I think it's A-Rod, obviously.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, A-Rod.
Yeah. Congratulations, A-Rod. All right, that does it for us. Thank you to Brian for his hard work. He was Blankers. I was Branham. Have a great weekend, Houston. Stay warm. Swarm. Go Texans. We'll talk about it on Monday. Have a great weekend. Good night, Houston.
Never, never quit.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.